Hey, everybody, this is Brad Williams, and I am the pastor of B4 Church. Welcome to our podcast. My prayer is that this would help you behold God, that you would see him for who he is, that you would belong to community, that you would be everything that you were created to be, and that you would be able to dream beyond the limitations in your life. So I hope you enjoy this teaching, and we look forward to seeing you in person soon.
Well, hey, everyone, welcome to the B4 podcast. My name is Alex.
And I'm Ashley.
And today we are talking about week 3 of Advent.
That's right. We are.
Ashley, you wrote this incredible Advent devotional with the help of some pretty amazing people.
Yes.
And if someone's just tuning in to this episode without maybe remembering the previous two, give us the 5,000 foot view about this devotional, how it works, and why we're doing this as a church.
Sure. I think I'll answer the first question, or the second question first, rather. We're doing it as a church to just, this can be a very busy time of year, and it can be really easy to get lost in buying presents and decorating and all the things and kind of forget about the whole Jesus part. So any Advent devotional, whether it's this one or another one that you find, they're a great tool to just kind of keep your heart and your mind focused on the main thing in the middle of the Christmas season. So this is just one way that we can do that. And doing it together as a church also gives us the opportunity to kind of be united and be looking at the same thing all together, which is kind of fun. So the Advent devotional follows the story of creation to revelation. And so the first 2 weeks, we kind of went through the creation story, kind of looking at how did God create the world, and then the fall. Why does it feel like the world that we live in isn't quite right? And then we've just kind of been tracing the history of the people of God. So we talked about Abraham. We talked about Joseph. We've talked about Moses. Moses and the Israelites were the main focus of week 2. We ended with Joshua and the people in the promised land at the end of week 2. And so in week 3, we kind of enter into a new era of the nation of Israel's history.
Yeah. So these podcast episodes, which are companions to the actual book, what are we doing in these?
Yeah.
That's a great question, right?
What are we doing? Yeah. We talked about this. We just want to take an opportunity, one, to kind of give an example of like, here's what it could look like to talk about this subject with the people in your life. But also just in case you wanted to like dive more deeply into what's being read, or you're just bored and you're cooking, making Christmas cookies, and you want to listen to somebody talk about it, Alex and I are here to serve you.
Hopefully you're not bored listening to us, however. But
well, you might just need something to do while you're, you know, cutting out all those individual iced cookies with all the different cookie cutters.
You know, I listen to like the majority of the books I listen to, or the podcasts I listen to, walking my 5-month-old to bed. I like pop a headphone in and like bounce her around the house at, you know, 12 o'clock, 1 in the morning. And I'm listening to something, you know. So not necessarily bored, tired maybe.
That's probably true.
That could be, you know, what people are doing as well.
Yeah, they're trying to go to sleep.
Yeah.
We're helping them.
Maybe. No, sometimes it, the reason I bring that up is because sometimes in the strangest times, listening to somebody else's insight on something, whatever the issue is, has kept me up all night because I'm thinking about this idea, or it sparked something. And, you know, one of the things I think is really cool, I was talking to my friend Casey about this just a little bit ago, that we all see God through a particular lens, you know, and often that's the lens of which we relate to God. Mine's different than yours, right? And so when I get to hear from you and you share what you're experiencing from God, it helps me get a bigger picture. Because I know at least not a lot of things, like, but I do know this one thing, that even though I have a pretty big picture of who God is in my inside of me, right? It's by no way encapsulates all of who God is.
No, no. And that's one of the reasons we need the church as a whole, is getting different perspectives on the Bible and things that are happening in our lives and God's character and all this. Like, none of us are going to get a complete picture on our own. And even with others, we'll never get a 100% complete picture, but we get closer.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even in this time when we're going to share some of our own reflections from week 3 of the Advent devotional, I have no idea what you're about to say.
That's true. We didn't talk about this beforehand.
We didn't talk about this at all. And you don't know what I'm going to say.
Nope.
But this hopefully is like an example of the kind of ways you can converse with people about God, not just through this Advent devotional, but just in general.
Yeah.
I think talking about God, especially with people that you're close to, sometimes can feel awkward.
It can. That's true.
Or sometimes it feels like you need to be like the theology police, right? Oh, that yes. didn't seem right or whatever it is.
It is even more awkward. Like I have 2 degrees in yeah. Bible and theology. Yeah. My husband went to a Christian school his own life, but has yeah. no degrees in Bible and theology.
Yeah.
So I feel like sometimes he thinks that like his sure. thoughts don't count as much right. as mine because he hasn't right. like read as much or he didn't take Hebrew
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, like I learn things from him all the time.
Yep.
Even though maybe he hasn't spent the same amount of time that I have studying. Yeah, so absolutely. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. You have something yeah. to add to the table.
If you have letters before or after your name that somehow indicate you're an expert at something.
Especially, still don't know it all.
Well, yeah, and especially in the realm of the Bible, one thing that I'm often reminded of, because I also have a degree in the Bible, which is bizarre, but what I also am reminded of is Jesus once said to the most biblically literate people in his time that their problem was is that they didn't know the Bible mm-hmm. or the power of God.
That's a little scary.
Yeah, and instead it was the people you would least expect that had the most insight into the character of God. So all that to be said, please be encouraged to share what you're learning.
Yeah.
And if you're on the receiving end and you have that bent to be the police about what you're hearing, actually, I had this conversation with a mental health professional and it was really helpful. They were talking about in dialogue like that, where somebody's pulling, like imagine your conversation with somebody else, like the conversation we're just about to have, mm-hmm. right? You are leaning heavily into an idea or a passage. And I have the temptation, like if we were playing tug of rope, to try uh-huh. to pull it and keep the tension. And this mental health professional said, more often than not, in a healthy relationship, you just need to let the rope go
mm-hmm.
and let them fall deep into that idea or that, and recognize that that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a heretic or that, you yeah. know, they're way out of, you know, the realm of
And your of silence
health.
Doesn't necessarily mean that you agree with them.
Exactly.
You're just listening and that's okay.
Exactly. And this is really good advice in relationships, by the way, if somebody's grieving or processing something, but it's also helpful just to have these conversations. So there is no tug of rope in this game. We're not competing nope. over Bible knowledge. We're simply just sharing the things that we feel like God has been speaking to us. And mm-hmm. then we're sharing them with you. So Ashley, yes. week three, tell me the day, the theme, the idea that spoke most to you.
So it is actually the first day, which is the passage from 1 Samuel. That's the story of Hannah and her son Samuel, who the book is named after. I actually very much wanted to work this story into the devotional for two reasons. One, we've said this in the last two episodes, I think, but there's like this pattern in the Bible that whenever like a new era of Israel's history starts, there's some kind of story about a baby. So we have like Abraham and Sarah.
Yeah.
That's a new era.
Yeah.
We had Moses in the basket. That's a new era. And here we have the start of a movement to go from here we are, all of the Israelites, and we are living in this time of the judges, and Samuel's the last judge. Mm. And we get this story about his mom and his birth at the beginning. So again, we have this baby story thing. So
yeah.
I'm not just obsessed with baby stories.
Well, I mean, it's been kind of a way, like, right? Mm. That you've been relating to the Bible and yeah. to God for a while.
Yes.
Because of what you're journeying through. Yeah.
Yeah. And two, like, this is a pattern. Like, this yeah. was something that I learned in those very expensive degrees that I got that was pointed out to me in college that I was like, oh, that's really fascinating. And the fact that, yes, this story particularly has been really influential in my life in a couple of different seasons. Mm. So I think as a kid, actually, I had like a little, my mom got me these little like baby Bible story books. We called them the little books. And they were all just like very small. They were like half the size of like a greeting card maybe. And so they're very portable. And I had a bunch of different ones. I had parables of Jesus and there was one on creation or whatever. And I had one that was Hannah's story and Samuel's story and was one of my favorites. And actually, I think basically wore that one out because I just really
sure.
liked. I also really liked babies as a child. So any Bible story that had a baby in it, I was like, oh, I want to read more about
right.
that.
Right. Which you obviously, like what you just said, there's yes. a lot of those.
Yeah, there are a lot
good.
Of them.
That's
so
good.
It was a good thing. The bad one was when This is just a funny aside. So when I first started reading the Bible on my own, I was starting in Genesis and went through, and I came to my mom and I said, oh, I love this story about Lot and his daughters. And my mom was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Because in my mind, it was just, it's a story about babies.
Right, right.
So that didn't always serve me well.
She was concerned briefly.
Yeah,
very
I didn't
concerned.
Really understand what was happening in the story. I just liked that there were babies.
Yeah.
But Hannah's story, she was 100% behind me liking that one. So I think loving it as a child. And then I think when I was like in college or post-college and really struggling with being single, I think Hannah's story was influential there too, of thinking about like, here's a lady that has this desire that doesn't get met, and she has to watch this other wife who probably Hannah's the first wife. And because she's barren, Elkanah has to have a second wife. And so she has this daily reminder already that there's a second wife of like, oh, you're not enough, basically. Mm-hmm. But then not only that, but this other lady is kind of rude and just kind of rubs it in her face. And so feeling like, oh, all my other friends are like getting married or whatever, very much able to relate in some ways with Hannah. And I liked that phrase of like, God remembered her. And again, that's one that pops up in the Bible a lot, where God remembers somebody and then he acts on their behalf. And then last year, this story was like, I would read it and cry because I felt like I was in the same spot. So, I think it's just such a powerful story of God caring for women who were not valued generally in that time and place in the world.
Right.
And two, God seeing a really mundane, but really like tied to the heart request and acting on behalf of an individual. And yes, Samuel ends up having an impact on the entire nation of Israel, but all of that starts because there's a woman who's heartbroken and sad because she can't have a baby.
Yeah.
So I like the care and kindness of God in that story. And that is why I was most excited about that one.
Can I ask you some questions about that?
Please do.
Okay. First, it's a comment. I think oftentimes when we approach things like this, or reading the Bible, we ask the question like, well, how do I apply that to my life?
Mm-hmm.
Now I recognize like there are some passages we don't apply to our life.
Yeah, yes. Know?
But this is
Lot's daughters being a great example.
Yeah. Exhibit A, don't do that. But there's obviously like a real life impact of this story to you. And so my questions are, how did you take a story like this and apply it into your life? Practically, tangible, like, you know?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I noticed, particularly last year, and something that I noticed in my life and then realized like popped off the page for me in this story was, it talks about how Elkanah and Hannah, and I think it's Peniah is the other wife's name, would go year after year to this festival. And so this festival becomes this like yearly reminder of what Hannah doesn't have.
Wow.
And again, that was something where like when I was single or like last year, of just like, are we ever going to get this whole baby thing to work? Of this yearly reminder that like God was there in that.
Yeah.
And nothing happened for we don't know how many years. Yeah. There were so many years where Hannah just went to the festival. It was a bad reminder. She cried. Elkanah tried to comfort her to no avail. And it was just sad.
Yeah.
And so it says year after year. And you can just kind of imagine that happening. And so I think there was some comfort there of you're not the only one that's experienced this like yearly reminder of a loss, whether that's like a yearly reminder of somebody that you've lost in your life or a yearly reminder of like a dream that has died or that hasn't come to fruition yet. And so I think that was one of the takeaways for me was what I am feeling is not an uncommon experience. And the Bible is showing me here that this is a human thing and this is an all across time thing. Hannah did not have social media and Instagram, and she still felt this way. So I can't blame them. I can probably give them a little blame, but I can't give them all the blame if I have this yearly thing that's making me sad or disappointing me or whatever. So I think that's one of those things. Did I answer your question?
It did.
I've now forgotten what the original question was.
Now tell me about, in this passage, like comforting you that you weren't alone, reminding you that, that's such a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we're struggling, one of the things that I find happen more than often than not is that we feel isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one else has had the struggle before.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a connection to the characters in the story. How mm-hmm. did you connect to God in this story?
Not always well, if I'm honest, because I think sometimes it would be like, okay, well, like you acted for her. Why can't you act for me? Like,
right.
When do I get the moment where an Eli comes to me and said, God has heard your prayers? And I'll be honest, I never got that moment. I didn't ever have like someone gave me a prophetic word or something that like, God has heard you and this thing is going to get better, either when I was single or when we were dealing with infertility. So in either case, I didn't get that same experience that Hannah got.
Yeah.
But I think, again, it's just seeing the kindness of God in the story, seeing the eventual faithfulness of God in the story, but also seeing that it took a way longer than Hannah would have wanted.
Mm.
Because again, year after year, she's at this festival crying. We read the story and it's like two paragraphs long, but we don't know how many years went into that story. We have an mm-hmm. indication it's multiple, but we're not sure how long. So I think just another reminder, which I don't like this reminder particularly, but it's in scripture a lot, that God's timing is never what we want it to be.
Mm.
And he is usually faithful. He is always faithful, but it doesn't always look like what we want. And it almost never happens in the timing that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I think I could be really mad about this thing. And I think too, Hannah gives you permission. She's crying and praying like a crazy person and God hears her. So there was that piece of, I don't have to be okay with this in order for God to come through for me either.
Mm-hmm.
It can take a long time. God's okay if I'm sad about it. That doesn't mean he's not working, but I can be real, real sad about it in the meantime.
You said something in the beginning. You said that you didn't always relate to God well.
Yes.
But I just want to say that I think honesty is relating to God well.
It was very honest.
Of course. And it was authentic and it was honest and integral. No, and one of the things I appreciate about the way you told that story, and I think it's important for people to hear, is that when you are suffering and going through something like this, it's not as if God is afraid of the things that you might say. So I'm not trying to say that we can't be reverent and in awe of God and all of those, but I think we're often way more afraid that we're going to hurt God's feelings than we need to be.
Yeah, and I think the Psalms also display that that's not a thing.
Yeah.
If you read some of the things that David writes or unnamed authors write in the Psalms, there's a lot of honesty there and a lot of frustration with God, and he's big enough to take that. And if you end up doing what I did last year, which was running around your house, scaring your dog because you were screaming or throwing your phone against the wall, that's okay.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
That's okay.
There's a lot of times I hope that no one records my car rides.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
It's the only place that no one else can hear me.
In the shower. I had a season where I had a lot of profanity to God in the shower. Unfortunately, it was a shower trailer, so I'm pretty sure one time somebody did hear me, but most of the time it was just me.
Yeah, I just think that it's in those places God already knows what's going on in your mm-hmm. soul, and he hears the prayers you can't even put words to, right? So how cool is that as an example for people even? So thank you for sharing that, because it's important that we look at this as this tool is going to maybe have those moments in it where mm-hmm. people are going to reflect on things and not feel happy.
Yeah.
You know, but the point of Advent is not that everything is happy. The point is that God arrives
mm-hmm.
in the midst of mm-hmm. the mess.
And even the arc, one of the things that I think is interesting about just looking at the arc of scripture from Genesis to Revelation is thinking about how much time, how much frustration, how many disappointed expectations,
mm-hmm.
how much messiness there was, at least in our eyes, of this story. And I think God knows and God has the plan and God sees it. And I don't think it looks messy to him necessarily. Mm-hmm. But to us, it looks like this is an awful plan. It took too long. There's too many weird things, like mm-hmm. whatever. But I think that's how God works, is he's yeah. not afraid to work in those messy places. And so we don't have to be afraid to express our frustration yeah. when it's messy, because yeah. he's had several thousand years of history to hear other people be frustrated about it too.
Totally. Absolutely. Well,
yeah.
My day was Friday.
You liked Friday. What
I
was
liked Friday?
I wrote the thing. I don't remember.
That's okay. You wrote. There's a lot of things you wrote here.
Jeremiah passage. That's
good. Yeah. Well. We talk about this passage a lot of before.
We do. It's one of the reasons I made it in here.
Well, that's good. I read a book a long time ago. Not a long time ago, but I read a book in 2011 and it was called To Change the World by James Davidson Hunter. And it's like subtitled, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but it's like the tragedy and opportunity of Christianity in the world, something along mm-hmm. those lines. Basically saying that the Christianity has been this force to change the world. That was God's intent and design, to bring mm-hmm. the kingdom of heaven into his people and into the world. And sometimes we mess it up. That's tragedy. But opportunity is what happens when that's not the case. Mm-hmm. What happens to the world when the seeds of the kingdom of heaven fall into the fertile soil and they begin to produce fruit. And so I read this book, and I'll never forget this. I was sitting, I used to work at a church in downtown Portland. Our offices were off the park blocks right across from the Oregon Historical Society. And, you know, regularly a day would be like the most like interesting interactions with people. Right. So like, if you know about the park blocks in Portland, you know that they're very transient. Mm-hmm. There's lots of young people addicted to substance mm-hmm. and, you know, having a glass windowed office on the ground
front
level
row seat.
Yeah. And right across, you know, the door is church. It's a magnet for all kinds of people, you know?
Yes.
And so, we were also just a few blocks away from Portland State University. And so anyways, so part of my job at the time was to be the person that welcomed everyone who walked through the doors of our office building.
That sounds
so
fun.
So I had,
depending on the day,
literally the most interesting conversations. Sometimes people had no clothes on. Sometimes people had the strangest clothes on, smells and sights, all those things. And, you know, every time I would leave the conversation, I would actually find myself pretty discouraged. Because I just felt like, what are we doing to make an impact in this world? Like, what are we doing to actually help?
There's no like check off at the end of that day of like, I accomplished something, because I'm guessing a lot of those conversations were fruitless.
It felt like, even if I had like the, you know, the well thought out sermon type
You
dissertation.
Weren't praying the sinner's prayer with 10 people every day.
No, it's not even that. They couldn't even hear it, you know? And I began to find myself like, I remember one guy, sweet guy, but every time I would like start talking to him, he'd just fall asleep. And I realized the only reason he came was because it was dry, it was safe, and we had food. And so he would always come and hang out in the office, and he didn't actually care at all about what I had to say. I was just basically his lullaby. Like, I would mm-hmm. put him to bed every single time we did something. So anyways, but I would find myself frustrated because nothing that I could say, and it felt like nothing that I was doing was going to make an impact on his life.
Yeah.
So I remember reading this book and it actually introduced me to Jeremiah 29. In a way that I had never seen it before. I've read the Bible before at that point, and I had read this before, but I saw it in a different light. Basically, the whole idea is that there was going to be people who lived in Babylon, which is not necessarily the greatest place, mm-hmm. Especially if you're an exiled Jew, for their entire life. Mm-hmm. And their point was to try to make the city a better place. Mm-hmm. And better from the standpoint of more just, more peaceful, more prosperous. That's the word that's actually used. The idea that people would thrive around them. And as I read that, I realized like this is why this whole idea changed my life. And this is why I have pastored in the city and pretty much lived within the same 30-mile radius for the last 13 years, is because my vision for how God wants to change Portland and Beaverton and surrounding areas is to just be here, just to be a faithful presence in the midst of this city. And I will tell you that that has been tested a lot in the last 2 years. Zillow keeps sending me recommendations for Scottsdale, Arizona and Tampa, Florida.
Apparently you like warmer weather.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I like about those places, but living in Oregon has been hard, and living in the greater Portland area has been hard. And I come back to this, and this through this journey through Advent, I came back to this very thing, which was be here.
Mm-hmm.
Hard, like to your point, to your story, hard does not mean it's outside the will of God.
Yeah.
No. You know, Jesus leaving heaven and coming to earth and becoming a human was anything but easy.
Yeah.
When you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was for all of our good. And I'm not likening myself to Jesus, but certainly he said we should be like him.
Mm-hmm.
And so all that to be said, as I read passages like, this is what it says, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage. So that's now multiple generations, right? So that they too may have sons and daughters, increase in number and do not decrease. So this is like, you know, here, multiple generations of family that's going to be in this place. And so it's about legacy. And also seek the peace and prosperity that the city which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for the city, because if it prospers, you will too. And so I've been reminded, God put me here for a reason. Mm-hmm. I'm serving, I'm living in the neighborhood that I'm supposed to be living in. And I needed that reminder, because like many people, there's the eject button and I want to hit it sometimes. And that's what God spoke to me through this day. So that's why.
I'm curious. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Just thinking practically, like, besides not moving to Scottsdale or Tampa.
Yeah. What does that look like?
Yeah. What does that look like in the life, in your life, both here as a pastor, but also just thinking about, like, you have a family with little girls and a wife.
Yeah.
What does that look like for you guys?
Well, first off, I had to realize, and this is again, one of the reasons why I told that story earlier about working in downtown Portland. I'm not Jesus.
So really?
I know I'm not the savior of Portland. I'm not the savior of the world. I can't accomplish that. So the task does not fall on my shoulders alone. Mm-hmm. That's what I realized. So I begin to ask different questions, like, what are the things that I can do within the resources that I have, money, time, energy, relationships, right?
Right.
To help bring about peace for the city, you know? And for years, it changes. So the answers to those that question has changed over the last 13 years. For years, it was I coached youth basketball, volunteered to coach youth basketball.
That could be a brave venture.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know what I was getting. I thought at first, like, I love basketball. So, that was it. But, you know, really what it was like learning to parent adult parents.
Harder part is the parents and the kids.
And their disappointment about their son's, you know, lack of playing time. Or, you know, you were too harsh, or you were, you know.
Weren't harsh enough.
Right. Or do not see the potential. I asked the question constantly without proselytizing these kids and these parents, which was not my goal. But my goal was, like, how can they see that there is something different? Like, I'm doing this not just because I love basketball and not just because I love like being an authority over somebody else, but how can I do this to help them grow and learn and develop and be better human beings and know that God loves them? So that was one area. I mean, somebody could join their HOA.
Did you do that?
Yes.
I remember you talking about it.
I am a part of our HOA.
Brave soul.
I resisted the urge to be in charge of our HOA.
That's probably for
that. I felt, this was about time.
Yeah.
It was about recognizing that I can't do that well. And if I can't do it well, I can't serve them well.
Yeah.
Right. And so mission critical for me was I want to be a part of it and I want to have relationship, but I can't be the person.
Yeah.
You know? There's been a lot of different things. Like, I mean, but again, those two things are things that are things that I tap into in my own natural abilities, right?
So yeah.
Like, I'm good at basketball, so I'm going to tap into that. I'm going to use mm-hmm. that. I'm pretty good at learning how to lead people and serve people well. And so I want to tap into that mm-hmm. and use that. And then I look at my kids, like my daughters are very involved in a dance studio in Hillsboro.
Mm-hmm.
I have four daughters and three of them dance.
And one is too little to dance, but she'll probably get there one day.
She probably will get there. So we're building relationship with the people that work there. We're supporting and volunteering there. We're, you know, making friendships, inviting those kids to our home to have play dates with my daughters so that they can see a family that just loves each other mm-hmm. and isn't perfect, but is trying to love each other well, you know? These are not like, this isn't rocket science, right? But
no.
If the church at large was doing these kind of things in our city, it begins to change things. You know, you volunteer in the classroom, especially right now.
Brave soul,
when apparently like, I guess I just read that yesterday, some announcement came out that like some high school classes won't have teachers on Fridays.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, that would have been my dream in high school.
Oh dear.
No, but I joke about that, but that's a serious problem.
Yeah.
And it's these like voids and gaps where we can look at and just show up to serve and love. And if the church did that, this city would be a different place. And instead of pointing the finger at all the problems, we get to be a part of the solution. So
yeah. Instead of just grumbling about the HOA, you've decided to be part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, exactly. And it also just gives me a chance to meet all my neighbors,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it's like, I want to be a good neighbor. That's something I think Jesus asks us to do.
Yeah.
So I got to think through like, what's the best way to start to meet people, you know?
That's not a bad plan. As long as you're not, you know, walking around with a ruler checking people's grass heights or something. But
right,
yes, you have the opportunity to redeem HOAs as well.
Exactly.
And positive experience.
You know, and one of the other things in this passage is there's a commitment to family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, commitment to marry, have sons, have daughters. Like, not that your value is in that as a human being.
Right.
You can be single. Look at Jesus. Look at Paul. You can be single in the kingdom. But that... don't underestimate the importance of like the faithful witness of Jesus to the city being you're a good husband or wife mm-hmm. and you love your kids really well.
Yeah.
That to me is like, if you don't volunteer in the HOA or if you don't, you know, but you do that well, you win the game. Like,
yeah.
Not that it's a competition, but you know what I'm saying? That has such an impact on the city in ways that, that's why it's included in the passage. So,
yeah. And I like your answers too, just because it all of it fits with who you are. It's not like you forced your girls to do dance for the purpose of we want to like missionary eyes those girls
of
the dance.
All.
No, like Scarlett loves dancing.
Yep.
And so as do the others. She's the one I've talked to the most.
Right.
Though. And so we love this thing. We want to be involved in it anyway. How can we be intentional of being a light there?
Absolutely. Well, and as they get older too, you can start teaching them to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's like last night she was asking me all about how to deal with a girl who's not nice to her
mm-hmm.
on her team. And it's like, did you ever have to deal with that, Dad? So we're having these like really great conversations, but ultimately it's like, I'm helping her be on mission to the people she's around. Mm-hmm. She didn't, I didn't use that language, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm basically just teaching her how to love people well, how to deal with disappointment, how to, you know, walk through that stuff. So again, like those are the things that this passage brings to mind. It's mm-hmm. all the history and my story, but also just this picture of hope. Of mm-hmm. what could the city look like if we did this and we're just productive.
Yeah.
So that was long before Brad said for the city, long before all of that. But it's one of the reasons why I'm still here, because that message resonates so deeply with my heart. I want to be a part of that. So,
yeah. And I think it's interesting to note too, just the context of that passage of the Israelites had been disobedient. That's why they're there.
Yeah.
And God's even able to redeem their disobedience to have a positive impact on the people that they were exiled by and to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
I just, throughout the whole thing, I've just seen, I think each week there's some, maybe, well, I guess the first week of the fall, but throughout each week of the Advent devotional, there's something where something has gone wrong. And even this week, I think there's two. One is Solomon and his disobedience too. But God is able to redeem those mistakes that people make and ultimately weave them into this beautiful tapestry that he's created of like, this is the work that I'm doing.
Yeah, I think we think of things as too binary. They're either right or wrong, or good people or bad people. But gosh, I just see each of these stories are about the complexity of human beings. Like, you know, Hannah is in a polymorphous relationship. You know, like it's a bizarre kind of situation. And then God is going to use her son to really change the world forever. We're still reading about him thousands of years later. Israel has been in a adulterous spiritual relationship with God. They have
for hundreds of years,
and injustice has flowed, and yet God has still got a plan for them. He's still working through that brokenness. And so we just have to be careful. We don't think that God will only relate to us on the basis of the good things we have done, or won't relate to us on the basis of the bad things, where things are way more complicated than that. And that is the world Jesus, that comes right into in the story of Advent. It's a big, messy, complicated world. So,
yes. And that's the beauty of the whole story.
That is.
And that's why we're looking at it.
That's right.
And that's why we'll keep looking at it next week too.
Yep. Well, this was fun, Ashley.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thanks for sharing.
Not a problem. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully you got those Christmas cookies cut out nicely and decorated in the course of listening to this. We're really thankful that you're joining us for this conversation. If you haven't already, you can feel free to pick up one of the Advent devotional books. I believe, hopefully, we'll still have physical copies left. And then we also have an electronic version that's available on our website. You can just go, if you go to the main webpage, we'll have a link in the show notes as well. But there's like a Christmas at B4 and you can find it there. Feel free to join in if you haven't already started doing that. Also, make sure you're subscribed to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. That means that you'll automatically get all of these conversations so that you won't miss any of the weeks that we're talking about this. Additionally, you'll get the weekly liturgy podcast that comes out on Thursdays. And we're also reading scriptures from that from the Advent devotional in that podcast as well. And then on Mondays, you get our weekly teaching. So if you happen to miss the sermon on Sunday, or you'd just like to give it another listen, that'll pop up in your inbox again on Monday. We are so glad they're listening with us, and we are excited to talk to you next week.